How's it going? How's it going? How's it going, everybody? Welcome to 4 Day Breaks, presented to you by High Rise Fuel for an unfiltered world of candid conversations. I'm Joey. I'm one of your hosts. Unfortunately, we don't have the second one here with me, but I will start off by saying nothing is off limits here. Today in this episode, we got Taylor Ward with us. Taylor, how are you doing?
I'm doing so good. How are you?
Doing good. Doing good. You know, keeping busy. So let's recap a little bit. You were just in, where were they at for the firefighter challenge? They were in Salt Lake in your backyard, right?
Yes.
How did that go?
It went really well. I PR'd my run, and it's always fun just to run in front of family and friends. So I'm really grateful. Set some region records.
Awesome.
Some Utah State records too. So overall, very successful.
Awesome. And so I guess kind of what I normally like to ask a lot of the guests that we have on board that are in the fire service, I kind of try to find out what ultimately, like, what was this like the career that you wanted to be in when you were growing up, or did it kind of just stumble upon you at some point, or, you know, did something happen that kind of influenced you to join the fire service?
Yeah. You know, it's kind of funny. I've always been drawn to helping people. And I've always been good in, like, very, like, emergency situations. In high school, though, I thought I wanted to be a surgeon. I loved Grey's Anatomy. Like, that was my show. And so I wanted to be, like, a trauma surgeon. I thought that was the coolest thing ever. And so in high school, I took every medical class there was possible. And anyways, my senior year, you could sign up for an internship. So I signed up for the hospital. I didn't get it. And I was pissed. Like, not that I felt like it should be handed to me, but I felt like I had done a lot of prep work and I felt like I deserved that and I didn't get it. And mm-hmm. So the internship teacher was like, well, why don't you do it at the fire department? And like at that point in time, like I had no clue what fire departments did. Like I just thought they like had fire engines and they just pulled fire hose. And I was like, that is so stupid. Like, why would I even do that? And so funny enough, in Utah, the dance team is called drill team. So I was on drill team and my drill coach, her dad was a battalion chief at the fire department, that my high school was next to. And so, they hadn't had any high school interns yet. And so they were like really excited and they set it all up for me. And I didn't want to go. And my mom made me go to my first day because she was like, no, like, because I had like a little like fire cadet uniform, you know, and everything.
Mm-hmm.
No, like, you're going to go try it. And I was hooked after that. Like, it was so fun. You know, I did a ride along. It was basically just a series of ride alongs with them. My high school, my senior year. And I just loved it. Like, I loved
How long did that go for?
It went for a semester.
And oh, so, man, it was like 5 months in.
Yeah. And so after that first semester, I was like, okay, I'm taking an EMT class. And like EMT just came so easy to me. Like, I just remember sitting there and I was like, I already feel like I know this. And I mean, I feel like that's kind of like, not to bash EMTs, but I do feel like it's just kind of like basic first aid, you know,
mm-hmm.
putting band-aids on people. But yeah. And so just from there, pursued a career in the fire service.
Nice. And this department wasn't it isn't the one that you worked for. It's another one, I assume.
No. Yeah. It's a different one.
Okay. Nice. And then, so going through that process, I mean, me personally, I kind of not a big fan of medical stuff. I know my shit. I failed the national and I was like, yeah, I'm never testing this again. I'm good. I don't need it. I just needed it to get my cert. My department doesn't require it. I mean, now they do, but when I got hired, they didn't. So I got grandfathered in. So I was like, all right, I'm good. I don't need this shit. But it's good to know that there's people that do enjoy it. I mean, I'm not one of them. But aside from that, so now you got into the fire service. And how long have you been in it now?
I've been a firefighter 7 years.
7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And all with the same department, or have you switched?
No. So starting out, I started out at a smaller department. They have the canyon in their department. Well, so Utah, there's canyons everywhere.
Yeah.
But they covered American Fork Canyon. And then they used to cover three cities. Now it's just two. So they were a district. They were a fire district. Just smaller department, but, you know, just super crazy calls, especially having the canyon. So technical rescue calls and just really good traumas. But it's just kind of like a slower pace than what I would like. And so I tested for Murray City Fire, and that's where I'm at now. And I love it. I've been there 5 years. So they've treated me well. And, you know, it's a small city, but it's pretty busy. We're right outside of Salt Lake City, which is the capital of Salt Lake. We have yellow fire engines, which always catches people off guard, but I love it.
Just it's like Hawaii.
Yeah. Well, and I love it too, because I don't know, when you go on a call, you're just like, oh, Murray's there, you know, but so that's what makes us unique.
And how many stations do you guys have? I always liked learning about other departments and
and also another thing that you brought up. So in Utah, you actually have to be cross-trained. So you have to be either like an EMT or advanced EMT or paramedic.
Wait, so you have to be cross-trained? You have to have the training? You don't have to have the cert, at least here for us, to get certified.
Okay. Yeah, you have to have the cert. You have to have the cert and you have to have fire certs and the medical certification at all
times. Nice.
Yeah, it is nice, but like, so like what you're saying with fire stuff, I'm like, oh, I agree. But, and the majority of cities, there's like a few exceptions. Salt Lake City's one of them. They all have their own ambulance service. Mm-hmm. So we have three stations at Murray, and we have two engines and then a tower and then three ambulances. But we're kind of outgrowing that. So we're kind of in this sticky, like, phase of like, we have a fourth station that's not manned. We just have medical equipment there. So we're looking at manning that station, or maybe we're like, oh, maybe we'll add a second ambulance to a different station. So we're kind of I shouldn't say we're not growing outwards, but we're growing upwards. And I think a lot of cities are experiencing that with just high rises, but yeah, it's a great place to be. We run about, I think we did 7,500 calls last year.
No, majority of medical, I assume.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's not bad, at least. I was expecting a bigger department. I don't know why I just expected a bigger department.
Yeah, yeah.
Because when I had seen it, you know, back when we first, you know, initially got in contact to, you know, with you joining High Rise as an athlete and everything like that, I'd looked it up. I was like, Murray City. I was like, I've never fucking heard of it. So I started seeing it. I saw it was right outside Salt Lake. So I was like, okay, then it must be, to me, in my mind, I thought it was like Sparks in Reno. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like Sparks is decently sized. I think they had like six or seven stations or something like that. So I was like, oh, okay, you know, that's a decently medium sized department, I think, at least to me, at least. And at least in my area, the biggest department we have in my area in South Texas, aside from Corpus, I want to say is Brownsville. And I think they only have like 10 stations. And then McAllen right next door, they just opened their eighth. And then my department's at 5. So we're still kind of in that area. We should have like 8 or 9 in my department, but we're stuck at 5. We're doing that growth stage. We just went civil service, I think, in 2011, I think it was. So we're still in that, the baby steps of civil service and stuff like that. Okay. And then how does your department operate? Like, I assume it's like three shifts. Are y'all doing 4896s? Or are y'all doing a Kelly? What are y'all doing?
So we're 4896. And then, so we have, gosh, it's in, and like I said, it's kind of crazy. It's something that I really appreciate about Murray is like, we are very well staffed. So we have four firefighters on the engine minimum.
Oh shit. So that's not including the engineer and the captain or lieutenant.
That is. But we always have two tailboards and then two on the ambulance. So anytime you get like a Murray unit, you're getting 6 people on a company.
Huh.
But there's a few crews right now that have 7 on their crew. So
interesting. So like minimum staffing in my department is 3. So when we have 3 at the station, it fucking sucks. But We're actually just working to change that to 4, hopefully in the next few months. So you guys do 48.96, and then what is the do y'all have any like specialties in the department? Like, do y'all have, like, you know, whether it be a wildland task force or hazmat or special operations type stuff, anything like that?
Well, this will be slightly controversial, I'm sure, but something that I really like about Murray is their main focus is like the bread and butter, which is like medical calls and like house fires. So just running like fire basics is like something that we really try to hammer, just because we have, so Unified Fire Authority is a very big agency, and they, you know, they cover unincorporated like Sully County. So they cover a very vast area, but anyways, they have a heavy rescue team, and that's all those guys do, you know, 24/7 is technical rescue stuff. So something I appreciate is like my department's like, you know what, like they're the big fish here. So why are we going to try to reinvent the wheel when, you know, they know what they're doing? So we go over very basic things like stabilization or I mean, we're pretty good at extrication and whatnot, but like if it's something more technical, we're gonna obviously have them come with us or call them out to be where we're at. And yeah, kind of same thing with hazmat. We don't really do hazmat either. We do have a wildland program. We do deployments in Emacs, and we're pretty good at swift water as well. We usually call to swift water rescues by neighboring agencies. We have a boat.
Oh, nice.
Funny enough.
Yeah. But I'll lie, I'd never heard of Unified Fire Authority, and I just looked them up and never heard of it. So that's like the state's kind of thing, or what? I see it's like in different cities.
Yeah, it's basically like
Or would you say it would be what is it? South Metro Fire, how they kind of incorporated different cities into one big department?
Yes. And that's how UFA is. Because the thing is like they cover, for example, like west of Murray is Taylorsville. And so they cover Taylorsville, but then east of Murray is like Holiday, and they cover Holiday. And so they cover different cities within Salt Lake County. I guess you could call them, they're called UFA.
That's crazy. Never knew that.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting.
That's wild. I'm like looking at their mapping and everything. It's fucking crazy. Okay, so
I know it's all random. It's kind of random too. Like you're like, oh wait, like this place has its own department, and then this one's ran by UFA, and yeah.
But Salt Lake City itself has a department, right?
Yes. Yeah, even South Salt Lake has their own department too.
No shit. Yeah. That's crazy. So then.
Yeah, Utah's kind of weird like that. We also like too, like, honestly, Utah, like, there's not a lot of volunteer departments either.
Oh, really?
Like, it's really all paid career. Yeah. Very few volunteer departments.
That's crazy. I mean, Texas has a fuck ton of volunteer departments.
I feel like a lot of places do, but Utah's just not one of them.
Damn. Must be nice. Gotta move to Utah, man. Fuck. No, never mind. Actually, that means I'd have to get my EMT. Never mind.
Yeah, and I was gonna say the cost of living sucks here. So
does it?
Oh yeah.
I could I mean, but then again, I mean it would kind of be the same, no? Because you're getting paid more the cost of living's higher, but you should be getting paid enough to sustain, I guess.
Yeah.
No. We could always use more pay, right?
Yeah. No, exactly. Like, right. I mean, you give me money, I'm going to spend it. So.
Of course. So now that we kind of went over that, right now, I assume you're only a firefighter right now at this point.
Yes, I'm a paramedic firefighter.
So, I mean, well, yeah, but I meant like the rank in the department. You're not an engineer or officer or anything like that?
No, yeah, no. No.
Any aspirations to go up?
No. It's funny, especially when people hear this from me, but my long-term plan isn't fire. I have a lot of goals within the fire service that I'd like to see myself complete. And then just because here's the thing with fire that I look at is like, obviously, I do not feel like this is a career that you can master. Like, there's always some sort of avenue that you can learn or better yourself, whether that is promoting or taking another class. And it is a career where you don't necessarily like have to get bored, but I just feel that, yeah, as far as I'd like to go is just paramedic firefighter. And like I said, there's a few goals that I have, but once those are done, then, you know, I'd like to look at other avenues of what to do, but, also too in Utah.
I'm curious, like, what's on that path?
Oh, what's on like the bucket list?
Yeah. Oh, no, not like on the, for the fire side. I mean, obviously things might come. I mean, plans always change, right?
But yeah, no, they do.
What's the future Taylor Ward doing not in fire service?
You know, like it's not like 100% figured out. You know, that's something that I do love about the fire service is, you know, like I got hired when I was 20, full time. And so, you know, if I did do a full career of fire, that's 20, like it would be 25 years. So I'd be 45 and then I could collect my pension and leave.
Mm-hmm.
So that's still like an option, but, you know, like I really am interested in like the nurse, like, aesthetics.
Oh, okay. So you want to go into nursing?
Yes, but not like typical nursing. Like, what I would like to do is like the Botox and the lip filler and.
That is not the route I was thinking. I was thinking like ER nurse or some shit.
Yeah, I was gonna say a lot of people always they think that, but I'm like, no, not real nursing. Just because what I think would be fun would be like to own my own business. So with that, you know, like providing those services to people, maybe doing like hormone replacement as well. Mm-hmm. Just kind of like a wellness clinic. And then, you know, just start buying machines. And then people rent machines and spaces for me. And then at that point, I'm a business owner. I'm not mm-hmm. doing the nursing stuff anymore. Or, well, I mean,
it sounds cool. Let me tell you, Taylor, it sucks.
What'd you say?
Being a business owner, it sounds cool, but it sucks. It's tough.
You know, I believe it, you know, but yeah, but I'm sure like you like to challenge yourself and
oh, yeah, most definitely. I mean, I always tell people that it'd be, I'd rather make, like $100,000 working for myself instead of making $1 million working for somebody else.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, yeah. I completely get it. And I'm not saying that to like discourage you. I'm just saying it sounds cool, but it sucks.
Yeah.
It's a long, long process. It's a grind. It's never ending. There's none of this like 4-day breaks type stuff. It's continuous even outside of it. Right. So,
oh, yeah.
I always tell everybody though, I mean, a lot of the guys that I work with too in my department, a majority of them are entrepreneurs as well. They all have their own businesses on the side outside of firefighting. And that's what's cool about firefighting is you kind of have that time to do it. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, no, 100%.
It's a little more easy on the workload, I guess you could say, compared to working a regular 9-to-5 or something like that. That's cool though. I honestly was not expecting that route.
I think a lot of people don't expect that route from me, but I just think like something that I think people like firefighters especially kind of forget is that there's more to life than just a fire service. Not that the fire service isn't important and you know, like I believe in the brotherhood that there is and sisterhood in it, but there's just, you know, a lot of life to live outside of it as well.
Yeah, of course. I think that's why genuinely, I think a majority of firefighters, don't get me wrong, there are those firefighters that work multiple jobs. Like they'll be in fire and they'll go work EMS part-time or they'll go work something else. Not necessarily to that aspect, but I do think there are a lot of firefighters that kind of do their own thing per se. Like, hey, you know what? I want to start up a business, right? I want to do this. I want to go back to school. And I think that's where you have a lot of different firefighters kind of figuring out that there is a lot more to life than the fire service. Me personally, I enjoy business. That's kind of what I've been into the past, like, I mean, since even before the fire service, I've always been into running and operating businesses and kind of doing all of that. Aside from now that I'm in the fire service, now it's a little more complex, I guess, to do it. Especially with, you know, with work, what they got right now. Like right now I'm taking the fire inspector course because I'm next up on the lieutenant list. So they're kind of like, hey, you need to have this. So it's kind of like, well, fuck, okay. Don't really care for it, but it is what it is, right? You just got to kind of roll with it. I do think staying in the back, though, I will admit, I personally would have loved to have just stayed in the back seat. Less responsibility, yeah. Less, I mean, especially being an engineer now for almost 3 years or a little over 3 years. It's no fun being in the front. All the fun is in the back seat.
Yeah, and you know what's so funny is I feel like I see so many people, like firefighters, they'll hit 5 years and they're like, I have to think about promoting. And I think that's so unfortunate because I feel like the best spot to be in is like, you know, riding backseat, but then having the capabilities to like fill in drive, like if your engineer's gone, or fill in as captain if your captain's gone. Like, I don't know. Like, I just feel like it being in the backseat really is a cool experience that a lot of people like, they take for granted, really, like, because they're just like, I need to promote. And it's, I don't know.
I mean, for me, it was more of, I saw the other people I was testing with or that were at my level. And I was kind of like, you know, a lot of these guys are dumbasses.
Yeah.
And I don't want to have to follow their orders. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was really the big thing for me with testing, because I really didn't care to promote. I wanted to at some point. I didn't know when. But it was more of that. I just didn't want to start, you know, having to follow orders from other individuals that I don't really care too much about their work ethic or how they kind of, if they know what they're doing or what orders they're going to give, you know what I mean?
No, I totally get where you're coming from.
So that kind of threw me in the mix to want to promote, or at least the motivation to study and promote. But aside from that, I mean, it wasn't really, really fun, I guess. I mean, I've been driving now for this long, and I fucking hate it. I'm not gonna, don't get me wrong, it's cool. I don't get dirty or anything, right? I'm just there. But yeah, it fucking sucks. It's boring. I don't get to do anything. And then when I do act, I get bullshit calls, and it's not like the regular. I don't get to go play with fire anymore. I don't think I've had a structure in I don't know how long now. So like a fully actually where, you know, I'm doing work.
Yeah.
All the structures I've gotten, I've been driving. So it's like, well, okay, I just go fuck myself, I guess. But yeah, I totally see what you're saying, though. I mean, I have seen it where people have, you know, even now, there's a few guys that are in my department that are at like 2 or 3 years now. And they're immediately like, oh, I need to pass. I need to promote. And it's like, don't get me wrong. Some people have that drive in them that they could make good officers. They have that potential. But a majority of them are kind of just like, hey, bro, like master being in the back first before you move forward, you know?
Well, and
or maybe not master. I think that's kind of a stretch, but learn the back seat before you go forward, I think.
And some people, like, they don't realize, like, you don't have to be in a leadership role to lead or to lead by example. There's plenty of ways to do that without being, like, a captain or an engineer or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of the people that kind of have that mentality, I think they're more on the power trip kind of vibe, I guess. I don't know.
No, for sure.
And I'm thinking of a certain individual when I'm thinking this, so I might be generalizing it, right? But but I think that that's kind of how it plays out. But so obviously you want to stay in the back seat. You want to go into nursing, doing lip fillers and all that kind of stuff. Uh-huh. And what is the motivation to want to do all that?
I have always just wanted to challenge myself with everything I do, and I just think that would be a new challenge, a new adventure. You know, something that the Firefighter Challenge has like made me realize is like how much I love to travel. And I'm just like, man, I want to do that more. But mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, firefighter wages necessarily facilitate that. I mean, the time off is always great and whatever, but yeah. So that's like
I could see that.
Yeah. Travel more.
Yeah, I mean, me personally, I enjoyed Reno. I thought Reno was great.
Yeah.
I'd never been to a casino either, so I definitely enjoyed it. JP enjoyed it too. It was his first time out there as well. So I think stuff like that. I mean, I've traveled a little bit, but nothing like to that extent. Where yeah. like going on business trips is a whole different ballgame because you don't really get to enjoy it. You know what I mean? Because yeah. I'm there on business. I'm not there on like a vacation. You know?
No, I get it. That's how I feel when I go to challenges.
Yeah, and so you started the Firefighter Challenge 2 years ago, right? Because last year when we reached out to you was your second year, I believe.
Yes. Uh-huh.
So in that time, what is the, I guess I would say, what's the common denominator that you can kind of feel aside from the exhaustion or not the exhaustion. I think the, like, you know, where you're putting yourself in that position, like where you're doing it at work and then you're doing the actual event itself, right? Whatever area it's in or whatever.
Yeah.
What's the common denominator between both sides that you think kind of helps you continue to improve? I mean, you've been improving since your first year to now. I mean, you still, even now, you just broke your own records last week. So it's kind of like, or not last week, like last month, sorry. What do you think is like the common denominator between both? You're obviously, I always see that you're posting, you're still training at work and everything. So what do you think kind of helps you excel at that?
You know, like, obviously, like it starts with me, right? Like I'm not going to take away or discredit myself, but I truly will say it's the environment that I am placed in. And I'm very great. Like my crew is awesome. My engineer, Jeremy Shoemaker, he comes out and competes. And then my new probationary firefighter, Allison Holmberg, it's her first season. And so it truly is. So I am so grateful to be on the crew that I'm on because everyone on my crew is extremely fit. They take fitness very seriously. They take firefighting very seriously. We're an intense crew with training, you know, whether it's in the gym or if it's firefighter training. And I love it. I love showing up to work and being like, okay, all these other people in this room are better than me and they're smarter than me and they're going to teach me. And mm-hmm. I will always want to be in a room where everyone else is better and stronger and smarter than me than to be in a room where I'm the smartest person. And so I feel that way, obviously, when I'm out training. And then when I go out to the Firefighter Challenge, you know, like, it's just like-minded individuals, and that makes me want to show up every time. You know, like I think about the girls that I run against, and I'm like, man, like I know they're out practicing and training, and so I better be out there doing that too. And so I really do think that the environments that I've placed myself in play a big role into constantly improving and trying to be the best.
And have you always had this competitive nature, like even in high school or as a kid, or was it kind of just something that developed once you were in like maybe not competitive nature, but I guess the athletic side? Like, did you play any sports or anything like that back in middle school, high school kind of stuff?
I did. I honestly, I agree with what you said, competitive nature. I honestly, so I grew up with a single mom. I grew up, my dad's never been in my life. I grew up with two younger sisters and then I have a single mom. And so something that my mom has always told me from a young age on was, like, no one's going to do anything for you. Like mm-hmm. I grew up very poor. So like my mom's like, oh, I can't pay for you to do anything. So like whatever you want, like you have to go get. So whatever doors are closed, like you got to go bang on them and open them up, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I grew up dancing. I didn't start dancing till middle school, which is pretty late for people to start dancing. But the dance studio that I danced at, I'm so grateful for the studio owner. When I wanted to start dancing, obviously, like, dance is not a cheap sport, but I cleaned the dance studio and I helped teach classes so that
tuition. And this was like ballet, I assume?
It was competitive studio dance. So we did like jazz, hip hop, lyrical, a bunch of different dances.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, so like to compete and whatnot, I would clean the dance studio so that tuition was cheaper. So we could afford it. And then high school, I was on drill team. But yeah, I worked to pay for drill. So everything that I've like ever done, I've worked for. Like, I've always had a very strong work ethic just because I have never been handed anything. And so that's something I'm grateful for. That's something that I reflect on in my life, that I'm grateful that I've always been very strong with working.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a good characteristic to have in life in general. I like to think that we're kind of put in situations or like, how do you say it? We're put on certain paths for a reason. Now, I'm not religious or anything like that either, but I do think that we kind of were dealt cards, and whatever you make of those cards is what you're going to get in return, right? So I look at it as, I mean, I had a rough upbringing too, right? So it's kind of like,
yeah,
I look at that, that kind of put me on the path that I'm on now. And I mean, fortunately now, I mean, I have my own house, I have a good job, good work ethic, business mind, engaged, right? So it's kind of stuff like that where it's that kind of all transpired a certain way and put me in the direction that I'm at now, right? And there's obviously decisions I make now, whatever I do now, whatever repercussions, whatever scenarios that occur within now to, you know, the next year or whatever, that's going to continue moving my direction into wherever I'm supposed to be headed. And I think that, you know, what you do with that, with your cards, is kind of what develops you into the person that you are, right? So I always like to tell people that don't think too crazily about your past. Just know that it's making you into what you need to be for the future. It kind of toughens you up, I guess, that tough love from the beginning. And it definitely makes it. I like to think that a lot of the successful people, all majority of like first gen successful people, come from that time. You know what I mean? Where you got to work for it. It's rare that you meet someone that's successful that earned it themselves, that didn't have all that. You know what I mean? In their own way too. Everybody has their own struggle in their own way. Everybody struggles. It just, everybody's is differently. And so you've always had that. You did dance, which is crazy. I did not expect that. I'm gonna have to get with you outside of this to see some of that, because I'm just curious as to how all that was.
Well, I was gonna say it comes out occasionally, like on my Instagram story today. Like, I took a jumping picture on Bourbon Street. Uh-huh. So it comes out occasionally, but.
Yeah. We'll see. We gotta do a dance battle with you and JP. That'd be fucking hilarious. Okay. All right. So then, now, how do you look at the overall? I guess women in the fire service. How do you look at it? Because now, I mean, numbers are increasing. I mean, my department has 3. There's other departments in my area that are starting to hire, you know, women firefighters and stuff like that. What's the, I don't know how it is in your area. I don't know if it's only you, if there's a handful in your department or surrounding departments. You know, what is you being in the fire service? How do you kind of feel about that whole dynamic? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So for me, I have always, from day one, I've wanted to be treated the exact same as everyone else. And, you know, like, our physical agility test, there's one time. There's not two standards. It's one set time. And so I really like helping. At Murray, we have a cadet program. And so basically it's kids right out of high school that want to explore the fire program or fire service. So they join as cadets and they basically do ride-alongs with us and we help develop them. And one of our cadets, Allison, she just, like said, she just got a job with us at Murray Fire. But we have other cadets that, you know, they go to the recruit school and we've helped them along the way, you know, get their fitness up and whatnot. And so mm-hmm. I love training women to be firefighters. I really do. But on the flip side of that, I would say that there is a standard, and not just women. If you can't meet the standard, I wholeheartedly believe you do not belong. And that sounds very like harsh and mean, but I just see it to be true, mainly because I look at, like, I just look at my crew alone and I see how hard, like, everyone on it works to stay fit and, you know, tip of the spear. And I just have a problem with people not wanting to be that way. And also just, you know, like, I think there's a direct correlation with physical fitness and, you know, how easy you are to, like, give up on yourself or others. And obviously you don't want to see that in firefighters, especially mm-hmm. firefighters.
So I looked at that from a different perspective, right?
Yeah.
'Cause I'm not per se what you would call fit, right? I'm the opposite of that. I'm pretty big. But I think that depending on where you're at, right? There's a lot of big guys that can work when it comes down to work. I think that in a sense, when you have that physical standard, right? When you first come on board, everybody, do you guys do it annually or do y'all do it?
We do it
just once annually. So it's kind of like, I think that the physical standard is set. In my department's the same as yours. It's one way and that's it. There's no, you know, women get one time, men get another, or ours is timed, but that doesn't really matter. It's more on completing it.
Yeah.
You just can't stop. So, I mean, that's the only difference I think between mine and yours. But in that realm, I think it's more on drive. I think that's really, you can't measure someone's drive off of things that some people, for example, can't control. Now, me personally, I can control it, but I do know there's some firefighters that I work with that are on the heavy side, and I mean, they work out and everything like that, and they still, it does. I mean, obviously what they do off duty and all that, that's a whole nother plethora of argument, I guess, but I think that it's tough to list one standard on how firefighters are supposed to be when the job can get done the same way, either way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And, like I always tell people too, like, you know, like yearly PT tests and whatnot, like that's the bare minimum, yeah. You know? And so, yeah, like I agree. Like as long as people,
it's like JP, for example, JP's not, I mean, he's lost weight now, right? He just had a surgery that removed. It wasn't like nothing like on that end. It was to remove a fucking hernia he's had forever. So yeah. Obviously being out, they kind of told him, hey, you can't eat this, you can't eat that. And he kind of lost a little bit of weight and stuff. But even someone like him, for example, right? He's like me. We're on the bigger side. But when I tell you that dude can work in a fire, that dude can work in a fire. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like, and then there's other guys too in my department that are on the bigger end and stuff like that. And I think that some of them genuinely outwork the guys that are fit, you know? So it's kind of in that realm where I think it varies dependent. Obviously there's a lot of, in my opinion, there's a lot of fit firefighters that feel like, and I have some in my department that, A, I'm in shape, I'm fit, I'm what a firefighter should be. and you ask them questions or you test them on something and they have no idea what the fuck's going on or what to do in a scenario like that.
For sure. Sometimes I do feel that women are looked at differently. I mean, the thing is that people don't like biological differences between men and women. And I'm not saying that women can't be firefighters, because obviously I am one. But, yeah. You know, like, I think it is for the guys that, you know, may not look fit, but obviously, like, still crush it, doing the job, whatever. I don't think it's, or it's not looked the same for women, right? Like, a heavier
set. Yeah, I could see that. I think, to me personally, it's on, I'll tell you right now, I've met male firefighters and female firefighters that ain't worth a shit. And I've met male firefighters and female firefighters that are worth their weight in gold. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's so, I don't think it really depends on the male or female aspect. I think it's more on the individual. Obviously, that's what makes it hard to generalize it too, right? You have to go on like an individual basis or a case by case basis. But I do agree with you on that aspect, that obviously you can't.
It's an unconscious mention bias. And it's yes. not necessarily a bad yeah. one. Just subconsciously, that's what you think. And there's not, I don't want to say it's wrong, you know, but it's just.
I mean, the thing is though, too, is it's like that in every aspect of life per se. Like, it's not even just about the firefighting side of it, right? It goes deeper than that when you look at everything else too. You might have, you could have like, for example, look at the Olympics, right? You have different men on different areas, right? Different countries and stuff like that. They all run a majority of the time. We always know who's going to win beforehand, right? When you look at different geographics and stuff like that, and different races per se, even too. So when you look at that, it kind of, all that plays a factor into it too. But I think that, I mean, I agree with you to an extent that it is kind of subconsciously, you know, a thought that everybody has. But I think it kind of goes just on how you carry yourself. And if you know the job, you know the job. If you don't, you don't. In my department, there's one guy that's like fucking 5'2", but he knows the job. He just ain't as, you know, I guess he wasn't gifted to be 6'3", you know, 220, pure muscle and shit like that. You know what I mean? But he knows the job better than I would say a majority of firefighters I've ever met, you know?
Yeah, let your work talk mm-hmm.
free. I think that goes across for both sides. It's not just on, you know, male or female. I think it just goes for both. If you know the job, you know the job. I think that's what should ultimately hold you to a certain degree of respect, I guess you could say.
No, yeah, I agree.
And since being in the fire service, what's the toughest challenge that you faced?
Ooh. Oh, well, I would definitely say one of them was just being super hard on myself. But I could say that about like everything in just like who I am is like, you know, I'll analyze what I did. I'm like, oh, I did this wrong, whatever it is. And then it's like, you know, just being hard on myself versus being like, okay, you know, like I've only been a firefighter for 2 years or wherever I'm at, like I'm doing good for where I'm at, you know, but, mm-hmm. you know, it's taken me freaking like seven. I feel like this is actually like this year is like the nicest I've been to myself, but like, you know, just even like stupid mistakes I would get upset about. And I got into the fire service when I was 20 years old, and I look back at those and I'm like, holy shit, like I was so young, you know, like people would tell me that all the time. I wouldn't believe them, you know. And it's kind of a full circle moment for me because my probationary firefighter is 20 years old, and
yeah,
I just look at her and I'm like, man, like this was probably me, you know, like, and yeah, so just trying to not demand perfection of myself, is
and that's the thing with the fire service is you're never going to have a perfect scenario or a perfect reaction time or anything. Shit's going to hit the fan no matter what.
Yeah.
I mean, that's ultimately what we do is try to prepare for the worst, right? But it's never going to be as you might have some calls that are just routine. You already know the way it's going to go. But most of the time you're still like, okay, shit. Let me make sure I do this right, do this right, do this right. And if I do all these things right, maybe that could play a factor into having a better outcome. Right.
Yeah.
I agree with you on that too. I think everybody has that. I think everybody in the fire service for the most part has that where they kind of critique themselves. And I mean, there's that saying too, right? You're your worst critic. Right. So,
yeah,
I could definitely see that. And what's one piece of advice that you've been given by somebody else?
Oh, let's see. Probably, my captain I have now, I love him. Like, he is just the best. But something that he said, like, always stuck to me. He does not care how you do something as long as you get it done and you get it done quickly and efficiently. That is all he ever cares about. And I just love that because, in the fire service, there's a million different ways to do something. And so he's not going to, micromanage you and watch you do everything. He just expects you to do it, you know? And I love that because then it gives me the freedom to be like, okay, I know that I need to pull this hose line over here, but I want to pull like this. He doesn't care as long as I get it over there and mm-hmm. put water on
as long as it goes from point A to point B. Yeah.
Yes. And I am so grateful for that because it also makes me grow as well, because if I mess it up, I can be like, oh, well, next time, like, I'm going to do it this way instead of this way, versus like him just telling me what to do all the time. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, no, those are the good officers right there that could kind of let you do you, but you know, at the end of the day too, I mean, they're ultimately responsible for it, but I think that's one way you learn is by getting thrown in the shit. My first, how long was it? It was like my first 8 months, I think, in the fire service. This was back in 2017. And I got asked, hey man, have you ever driven the ladder truck? Never in my life. I barely touched the engine twice.
No.
I've never moved the ladder truck. I'd been driving the tanker that we have, right? Or the tender. I don't know what you guys call them in Utah, but I've been moving our tanker, going to calls and stuff like that. And he's like, well, get in the driver's seat. Let's take the ladder truck. And he took me through the worst possible fucking streets that you could imagine for a ladder truck. Like, I'm talking about a street with cars on the side parked in front of mailboxes, and it's like you barely fit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So stuff like that. I've been kind of since that moment. I've kind of looked at everything in that aspect of like the only way you're really going to learn is by doing. I mean, yeah, you can learn what you want from a textbook, and you can kind of have an idea. But in all actuality, at least in this line of work, the only way you're going to actually learn it is by doing it. And that's why, like, in the academies and stuff like that, you have skills and all that kind of stuff, right? Because that's how you're ultimately going to learn how to do it. I could tell you how to put on your bunker gear, but if you don't actually do it yourself, you're not going to know that you need to put on your suspenders before your coat. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like different aspects on that.
And it's something too that people don't like. People look at failures like the worst thing to ever happen. And like initially, I feel like it's okay to view failure in that light. But the more I look back at failures, like, you know, some of the times that I feel like I've had my biggest failures, like they have been the biggest moments of learning and growth. Mm-hmm. And I am so grateful for all of my failures because I don't feel like I would be where I'm at without them.
Yeah, no, of course. And on that note, what is the, I guess, what advice would you give your old self, your younger self?
I would probably tell myself to just slow down and enjoy the, like, be more in the moment, be more present with things. Cause yeah, I feel like a big thing with who I am is I'm like, okay, I've conquered this. Like what's next versus like living in those moments, you know, mm-hmm. Or even just like, I'm sure you do this too. Like you'll sit down and you'll like work with someone you haven't worked with in a couple years or a couple months or whatever. And you're like, oh, do you remember this time? Or do you remember when we did this? Or, oh, do you remember when we were on a crew together? Like we would do these things, you know? And I sit back and I reflect on it. And I'm like, man, like, I was more present in those moments when they were.
Yeah. I mean, if you would have told me, and I tell this all the time to like, so for example, when I got hired on, I got moved right to another station after like 6 months, they moved me to another station. They threw me with JP, another guy named Cito, and another guy named Stuart. Or his name's Anthony, but we call him Stuart. He's a guy that I was telling you that's like 5'2", 5'1", or something.
Yeah.
Great dude. Love the dude to death. If you would have told me at that point that both of them would be Chiefs by now, I would have been like, nah, you're lying to me. You're lying to me. And yeah, both of them are now deputy chiefs in my department. And yeah, like, I mean, I still talk to them to this day and we'll go over like, hey man, you remember this? They'll send me pictures from like way back when you get the memories and shit. And it's like, looking at that, I think that I was fortunate enough to work with such a great crew at that time. There's never, I don't care who I worked with. I know you met John this past event too. I love John. That's my work son, right?
But
there'll never be a crew like that crew that I initially started with.
Yeah.
And that the dynamic that we had where we were going to everything that we back then we didn't really have rollout procedures. It was kind of just, hey, we have two stations manned. We have four stations built, but we have two stations manned going through the growth process and everybody's going to everything. So doing that, if I could look back at it and be like, damn, I was living in the good moments at that time and I didn't even know.
Yeah. No. Because I agree.
Yeah, no, that's it's a different animal when you look at it. And that's, I mean, that's kind of what I look at in the fire services. You never know when things might change, dynamics might change, people change, right? Because lives change too, ultimately, at the end of the day. But it's good though. I mean, I've built some good friendships. I mean, JP, believe, I mean, you've met JP. JP is he's my dad's fucking age. Yeah. Let me say that out here, right here. That dude is literally my dad. I'm JP's oldest son's age, right?
Yeah.
And that dude is probably hands down one of my closest friends of all time, right? So it's like looking at it from there, it's like, holy shit. Like, how did a 29-year-old and a fucking 46 or 45-year-old become that close of friends, right? It's like, holy damn. Like, wow. And that's the thing too, right? Like you look at it when you're in the service right now, for example, too, because you have someone under you that's 20, right? Yeah. That's me with John. John's 21 and I'm really close with him too. It's a trip. You build those long lasting relationships and you kind of look at it. So I would go to say, I think that on your note of enjoying the times before, that's definitely, I mean, that's, I wouldn't have thought of that, but that's definitely advice that I would love to give my old self is enjoy it. Cause looking back at it now, damn, I don't have that same crew anymore. They're obviously we have two deputy chiefs now. Me and JP are still on the same shift. We're the same rank, so I don't even really get to see them. But yeah, that is crazy. Takes me down memory lane, man.
Yeah, it always does.
And what is the what's the balance like? I know you do a lot of the. Not even just the firefighter challenge in general. You do a lot of different events as well. What's like the balance between them? Like, is it, do you feel, obviously you might not feel it, but do you kind of have the sense that you're overworking yourself or overdoing it? Or do you kind of feel like you have a good, you know, balance between work, personal life, competing? Because, I mean, you're doing them. For example, you were just there last month in Salt Lake. Obviously, it's your home, but you're still in that mindset, right? And then you're going now to – now you're in Baton Rouge with the Firefighter Challenge, and then we still have others down the line. Like, what's the balance like?
I mean, I'm not going to lie. There's not balance. but –
It's all intertwined.
What'd you say?
It's all intertwined.
Yes. But, you know, like it goes back to just living in the moment. And, you know, I'm fortunate enough to have opportunities that I know other people don't have. And, you know, you're supposed to live life. And I feel like I am. And I'm just trying to take every opportunity and maximize it. And so... You know, like, obviously, like, what I'm doing is not sustainable. And so, yeah, so I'm enjoying it for as long as it shall be. So, yeah. But, you know, like, it's not like it's burning me out or anything like that. So,
mm-hmm.
If that were to happen, then that's, you know, maybe that's when I'm like, okay, we're going to stop doing this. But, no.
Yeah, I mean, that would make sense, too. I think... I mean, one thing, like, I tell, like, Hewin and everybody, too, is it's definitely, especially for them, right? Because they go to every single one. And to be honest with you, like, I think that's a fucking grind, you yeah. know? Like, what is the balance like for that? And I think that something that a lot of people don't consider outside of the fire service is that work balance, right? With personal life and obviously whatever you have going on that you want to do, your aspirations as far as, you know, for you, you want to go into the nursing side. So you want to start building that fundamentally now, right? So it's not a process later. And then you go into work itself. Kind of adding that into it, I think that having a good balance is well worth it.
Yes, I would
agree. Being able to kind of do it, I guess, to an extent where it doesn't necessarily overshadow. One doesn't overshadow the other, I think. And I need to take my own advice too, because I'm terrible with fucking balancing. I tend to... do a bunch of different shit at the same time because I think that I can handle everything all at once. And then I shoot myself in the foot and then I'm there bitching about it. So, yeah. You know, it just kind of, it goes the way it goes. Right. But aside from that, I mean, are you excited for this week?
Yes and no. I'm always excited to come out and run. I have a sinus infection right now. That's why I sound the way I do. So yeah, being on air does not sound like the greatest idea to me right now, but once I get out there, I always have fun. I'm out here with some Utah friends. So I'm out here with some familiar faces and, it'll be a good week. So
it's always a good thing, right? When you can go out there with friends and kind of just soak it all up, you know what I mean? Well, on that note, I know it's already probably getting a little late for you over there. We've been at it for an hour. It's been a great conversation. I will say this, though, out of a lot of the people that we've been working with High Rise and kind of the processes that we've been cultivating the past, like, you know, year really since we've been trying to work with people. I will say that the general consensus between all the owners with picking you up was a great decision with the work ethic and the drive that you kind of put into it. We try to thrive in doing the most authentic and genuine partnerships with people. We try not to like just work with everybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that if you kind of, if you let 1,000 people into this club, I mean, it's not really and not to say that I want to hoard it, right, or keep it to myself or whatever. I think there has to be a kind of a standard with working with people. And I think that, you know, while working with you this past, you know, few months and everything like that, I think it's been a outstanding partnership. I think the work ethic, the drive that you have, the amount of events that you do, the competitive nature, everything like that, the mentality and everything, it kind of goes hand in hand with what we want to do at High Rise and how we want to continue elevating that. So I want to commend you on that and appreciate you for coming on board to the 4-Day Bates podcast. I know we kind of been a little MIA for everybody listening, but been doing some stuff on the personal fronts from both myself and Bassan. But Taylor, we appreciate you coming on board. And any closing thoughts or statements for anybody?
You know, I'm very grateful for you guys. You guys were like the first partnership I ever did, and that I still remember, like, when you sent me like the whole agreement thing, and I was so excited and I was so grateful, and I still am. I'm very grateful for you guys. So very grateful to be working with you guys, and I love High Rise Fuel. It's a great product.
It is. And you know, that's something too, right? We try to, one of the biggest things when we started, you know, looking to work with you and stuff like that, we wanted to kind of have that working relationship where you like the product and it's not just a front, right? And then on top of that too, we wanted to work with firefighters that we genuinely believed in that could do great things on and off, you know, the gridiron or the field, whatever you want to call it. And I think that's something that we've kind of established with you is, you know, you were by far one of the hardest working, not females, but hardest working firefighters in the firefighter challenge. So definitely want to, you know, give you your flowers while we're here and everything like that. So appreciate you working with us, and we look forward to continuing to work with you. Hopefully make some bigger stretches here in the next year or two. We have a lot of plans and a lot of different things. For those that don't know, or I mean, for the most part, I've kind of told just about everybody I could think of. We are planning to release a new flavor as well, as and do a water. That's something that we've been wanting to get into, is a hydration water with electrolytes, something to get you kind of back into the motion. Because one thing I've realized in the firefighter challenge is, you know, some motherfuckers are crazy. They'll get off from doing some shit, come over straight to the High Rise tent and grab a High Rise and chuck that shit. That is one.
That's a different
breed. But two, that's fucking ridiculous. So we want to kind of not play into the leading cause for firefighter fatalities with, you know, cardiac arrest and everything cardiac. We want to kind of play a different factor into it and help you guys get hydrated. So we've been working on all that in the back ends. Things take time. Things, you know, kind of have their own processes on how they get done. But that's something we want to kind of hopefully put together. If not this year, hopefully next year, and we can have everything out and about and get things rolling. On that note, Taylor, have a great week there in Baton Rouge. Hopefully you break some more records. Tell JP I said hello. And tell everybody else too. Tell Hewan and Jeff and everybody, Melissa, AJ. I'll be seeing everybody hopefully in OKC. If not OKC, Dallas for sure. It depends what work has me doing at that point. I have no idea. Things are so up in the air right now with promotions and shit. I don't know what the future holds. But I will be trying to make both events. So let them know.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much. I've had fun being on the podcast. So.
And we'll get you back on here near the end. I actually am thinking, and this is just a thought that I had like a few days ago. Four Worlds, we have an Airbnb already picked out. It has a nice little day room. I'm thinking for Worlds, me, you, Jeff, Hewan, JP, kind of all just meet up for the first in-person podcast, or not in-person, but the first on video podcast episodes. So
yeah, perfect.
We'll see how we could do something like that. Gotta go. I thought I had the idea come up in my head and I was like, all right, I'm gonna need money for that. Let me figure out what the fuck I'm gonna do. Right. So we'll go down that path and see if that's something we do. But Taylor, appreciate it. And have a great one.
You too. Excited.
All righty. Everybody, appreciate you guys listening in, and we'll see you in the next one.